Shalom and good morning. I want to invite you into a very important book written by Peter. Peter was a great man of God who have written this letter out of the things he himself had gone through. Peter was an apostle who became a great pillar of the Church of Jesus Christ in the Gentile world and in the Jewish world, where Jews were. God used Peter so mightily, even to minister to the entire church. By the time Peter was writing the letter, he was in Rome. He finished his years in Rome, where he was pastoring the church at the epicenter of the persecutors, because persecution was coming also from Rome, and so he was there. And he wrote a letter to believers who had come from the Gentile world. Unlike James, who wrote the letters to the Jewish believers who were scattered in Gentile world, Peter wrote to the Gentile believers who were scattered among their own people. They had believed, they had come out from the pagan belief. And because of that, they were facing severe persecution. So Peter wrote to them and he told them, stand firm, stand with confidence on the grace of God that has been given to you. So the book of 1 Peter is basically about persecution. How believers can stand firm in the persecution. Persecution that was coming to the believers just because they had believed in God and they had set their lives different from the pagan brothers or community. So Peter wrote to them and said, stand firm on this grace. So we'll be talking about more about the grace of God. Yes, let's understand that he's writing to persecuted people who are going through harassment, people who face hostility because of following Jesus, people who are hated because of following Jesus, people who are discriminated by their own because they have chosen to follow Jesus. And people who are actually rejected by their brothers and their sisters because they follow Jesus Christ. So we'll be asking ourselves, majorly, how would you, as a believer who is a minority believer among your own people, stand firm with confidence? Peter, ideally, was able to say that you need to stand on the grace. Stand on the grace. And we'll be asking about ourselves, what does it mean to stand on the grace of God? And five key issues or five key pillars of standing on the grace of God comes to play here. Just allow me, because we're introducing a new book, just to mention them. One of the pillar, I want to start from behind, which is chapter 5 of the book of 1 Peter. One of the pillar is that you're the pillar of standing on the grace of God. It means that you are supposed to serve others, to care for others. Elders are supposed to care for others, and they're supposed to to minister to others. So the first pillar of standing firm is to understand that God has called you to serve others. Number two, the second pillar about studying on the grace of God, or to be victorious, or to be faithful while you are going through persecution, is to understand the pillar of persecution. You'll be understanding that persecution, what is persecution, and how and why God allow persecution to come to his own children that he loves. That pillar will be understanding about the, you know, standing on the grace is about submission. And you'll be talking about how would one be able to submit even to some authorities that are harsh. How would you submit to the authority of the rulers of the Roman Empire? How would you submit as a slave? How do you submit as a wife to the husband who does not believe in God? How do you submit as a group of believers to one another? How do you submit also as believers to the harsh neighbors who are actually insulting you? Now, the fourth pillar that we need to understand on how to stand firm on the grace of God is to understand that pillar of being sober. Sober means you are thinking properly. You know very well what you're thinking is the thinking of God. That means thinking is you are looking at issues from the perspective of God. It's true you are within this space, but everything you look at it from the perspective of God. You look at your beginning, how you began the journey. You look at what you are expected to do. And you look at how your life journey will look like when you end. And you look at it from heavenly point of view. And the fifth pillar is that you need to understand that you are secure in God. You have security. Your life is secured in God. Doesn't matter what will happen to you. And so this book, as you're saying, is about standing firm with confidence on the grace that God has already provided for the Church of Jesus Christ. Of course, you'll be looking at 2 Peter, that it will be is about dealing with the internal problems of perversion or false teaching and doing all manner of evils from within that makes the love of God to grow cold. So this letter, as we say, it was written by Peter. Let me just summarize this: from Rome, the capital city where the agent of persecution was coming from. Peter wrote from a life experience after denying Jesus three times and being restored and commissioned to feed the flock of Jesus Christ. First Peter was written to minority believers from the non-Jewish background, believers who are scattered among the majority Roman and Gentile unbelievers who are going through very severe persecution because of their choice in following Jesus. They were encouraged. This letter is an encouragement and an assurance. Two things. Peter says this is, he wrote to encourage, and number two, to assure. I think these are two main words that we'll be talking about: to be encouraged and to be assured that what we go through is part of God's grace, that God is in it, that God is orchestrating everything. They were encouraged to remain faithful followers of Jesus in their response to persecution. This letter reminded those Gentile background believers three truths as they navigated the race of hope. They were reminded who they were before the race, that they were not a people, that they had no hope, that they were dead and lost. They were lost without Jesus. Number two, they were reminded now who God has made them to be chosen people, to be royal priesthood, a nation, a holy nation, God's special possession, that was supposed to declare the praises of God who called them from darkness into this marvelous light. And number three, they were reminded of who they would become. They were reminded that they had a new living hope when Jesus comes again. So he pointed out that Jesus, the Messiah, suffered faithfully. And many other believers, they were also going through such suffering. They were facing just great suffering. And so in this first letter of Peter, we are actually going to look at 1 Peter 1:9 in this session, so that we focus on the security of believers. How secure are they? I told you that they were reminded about how to stand on the grace. And one of the most critical thing is Peter reminded them that you are secure in Jesus, even as you face persecution. And one of the security is to be shown that they belong to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, they were shown that they had been been born again. They were shown that even what they were going through is that they did not belong into this world. And so let's just have a reading from verse 1 Peter 1:9, just to hear what Peter talks about, giving them the assurance on the grace of God, the assurance of believers, even as they navigate this valley of pain, valley of Baca, as Psalms 84 calls it. So this person is calling himself Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he says to God's elect, God calls them elect, God calls them exile, and God describes them scattered throughout province of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So these are all believers. Most of these believers are believers who had been preached to by Apostle Paul. Initially, these churches were opened by Apostle Paul. They were actually believers that Paul had interacted with. But Peter is coming now to strengthen them, to show them that apostles work together. Actually, Peter is also writing together with Silas. You remember a man called Silas? Silas was one of the men who had suffered with Paul in the jail. You remember when they prayed in the jail at Philippi, and even the doors of jail were opened? So Peter finally teamed up with that Silas. So you discover that Silas had worked with Peter and had worked with Paul. And they were now encouraging this church that was going through these provinces. And they were literally going they were scattered and they were exiled. And so Peter looks at them as exiles. They were sojourners, that they were not fully there. They were not supposed to have their inheritance there. They had an inheritance of God. Then he said that these people have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, and to be obedient to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling and sprinkled with his blood. I want you to see that in their security, for Peter to talk about the security of these believers, because he said, you are secure. In the encouragement and assurance, Peter said, you are secure in God. Yes. Why? He made them to know how they are related with God the Father, that they were chosen, look, according to the foreknowledge of God. Number two, they were sprinkled through the work of the Holy Spirit so that they can obey Jesus Christ. And they sprinkled with his blood. Then Peter said, grace and peace be yours in abundance. So he started to introduce the theme of the grace, which is the major theme of this book. Then he says, praise God for a living hope. Now, this is the security he's talking about. There's a living hope. I want you to put yourself into the feet of these people and you listen to what Peter is talking about and you be encouraged and be assured. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, isn't that one of the assurance and the safety that we have been born again? We need to praise God. So he tells them, praise God, or praise be to God, the Father of all Jesus Christ. Why? Through his mercies, he has given us new birth. In other words, you are in these provinces, but the Lord has given birth to you. What? He has given you a living hope. This is the most secure words you can ever have. That you have a living hope because of what Jesus has done, because of the death of Jesus. Peter is telling them, I know you are going through persecution. And by the way, Peter was also going through persecution. And other believers were going through persecution. He tells them, listen, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus that was sanctified, you have been given birth. You belong to God. You are special. This would give them security that they cannot be able to be denied, that what God has given cannot be taken from them. And they have, and was told that you have been born again into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This is good news, that God has given you an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance that has three qualities: will never perish, will never spoil, will never fade away. Then he said, this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's later to be revealed in the last days. Peter tells them, you have begun the journey. The Lord has given you the foretaste of the salvation. And this inheritance is given for you, but it shall be revealed in fullness when Jesus comes. But then, while you are here on earth, you've been shielded by the power of God until the coming of that salvation, until Jesus comes again. The many things shall be revealed. Then he said, in this, you are greatly rejoiced. Though for now, he introduces some element of persecution or where they were, what they were going through, but this will be dealt on later. So he said that you should rejoice. And he said, through now, for a little while, you are going through some persecution. For a little while, you are suffering grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Then he says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the aid of your faith, the salvation of your soul. This is what Peter is talking about, to encourage them and to assure them that what they are going through is that God is part of it. Father, help us to understand this beautiful letter and help us to live by the power of the information and transformational news given here, to help us to overcome the challenges that we go through because of faith, in Jesus' name.